Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
You can take your seat in that mood. I learned so much from Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans in Romans 1. I know you want to prophesy. Amen. Romans 1, verse 21. Okay, media is helping me. It's so essential that we know how to glorify God. Because his intention is to glorify you. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. Glorifying God, one of the major attitudes of glorifying God is being thankful. So many things that the enemy doesn't want you to remember. Because he knows that if you remember, you are living in consciousness of the kingdom and the government of Jesus over you. One of the ways to stay conscious of the kingdom, when you know a man that is staying in the consciousness of the kingdom, that man is thankful. And if you are thankful, you will live a life that glorifies God. Because you relate more with life with a sense of privilege, not more with a sense of right. Religion has taught us to live otherwise. You feel you've done so much for God. I'm a tither. You are very bogus in your activities in church. So you feel God does not have a choice. And anyway, before you started anything, he's done everything. He didn't even introduce you to you when you were coming here. I was preaching in a crusade two days ago, and I asked the people in Yoruba, I said, "Melo nu yin lo collector lati waye? Mbo la dress ite kosi?" Office will not be allowed. We go bury, we let bury, no let ana. Unga te wa de gamba, we let she mother she de. Mbo let deti. How many of you can describe the ambience of the hospital where you were born or the room? How many air conditions were there? What did it look like when you were born? Can you tell me? Wave your hands. So, God has done everything to make you realize that this thing is not about you. It's a major stakeholder in your life than you. If you understand this, you understand the kingdom. In fact, none of you know when you will leave. Neither did you know when you came. In fact, the first few years of your coming, he hid it from you. You were not in charge at all. You that you are now worried about everything. You were never in charge of anything. When they bought beautiful dresses and put it on you, you waste it in dirt. You use shampoo to rub your head, and it was saliva. Somebody said, "Me, not me." Don't worry, I'll tell your mom. Your mom will reveal you to us. We that are now so tidy, you say, "I have not put polish on my shoe. I can't come out." There was a time you wore it wrongly. And let me tell your neighbor, it was the same you then. So, for the first few years of your life, God took sense from you. So that you know that man does not live by sense. I believe you, me, you will not know where you are going, no matter how predictive your doctors are. They once told me sometime back that my auntie has 3 or 4 days to live. She's still around. And the doctor that predicted it the following year, I was in his funeral. Life is beyond you. I've been preaching to 2 people. So you are acting out a script that somebody has uttered. We must come with a sense of privilege, which gives you a pure sense of gratitude. Gratitude. Glory to God. But because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. The other attitude outside thanksgiving is vain imagination. When you see a man that is not thankful, he can think anything. He might even think Okada will hit him by the time he gets to the road. Because he's not living in the reality of his creation. When you are not living in affirmation of the government of God over your life, you will live in vulnerability. Have you seen people wake up and they are just afraid that they won't have accident? There are people like that, even here. I'm so sorry. So when they want to enter a car, they say, I plead the blood of Jesus. As if the blood of Jesus is in a reservoir where people just put a hose and they spray it around. Their concept of survival is so material. So they need to have the blood of Jesus handful. Their forefathers used to go out with amulets. Yes, is that not what they call it? Charms and amulets. That was their security. So when they got saved, the cultural sense of their grandfather is still in them. So they must carry the blood of Jesus under their bed and wake up in the night and spray it like an insecticide. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. Somebody will now carry it and sprinkle it in the room before he can be sure that Jesus actually shed his blood. Because they are so grounded with common sense. And God is beyond 5 senses. Among of them who have gone to Herod today, they teach because they want to be logical. They say, how can you say Jesus died? That is cannibalism. How can you say he shed his blood? I was speaking to someone in the aircraft, and when we got to the part where I needed to have a discourse about the fact that a man is a son of God, he said, that is the part you will not tamper with. You guys should use your sense. I said, that's where you miss it. I use a sense that is beyond my cerebral. If I don't go there, I can't get it. And the spirit bears witness with my spirit. You compare loss and loss. They say, according to the Newton's law of motion, you are a serious academia. And so you know things should be done by these rules. So you forget God. And you are now left with vain imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened. The only way to perpetuate darkness is to be untactful. You see, that attitude of thanksgiving opens you up to light. I don't know. I don't know why I'm coming from that angle. Our assignment, before my pastor gets annoyed with me now, our assignment is, and you know that pastor says, he don't take nonsense. He will come at me and say, oh God, but this one that you are saying light and thanks, now kingdom, thy kingdom come. I beg, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Let me watch myself. It's the kingdom, but is it related, sir? Okay, I'm I'm fine. Even if it's all these few things that the Lord has brought, I think I'm safe. Okay. They had their foolish hearts darkened. They now became vain in their imagination. So, and when once a man's heart is darkened, even the things that are appealing to common sense, he will begin to do the things that are not even appealing to common sense. Somebody said that it was one sister came, a pastor. The daughter came from the U.S. and brought the spouse. And it became a prayer point. Pastor Edami, Tori Olorun obirin lomo yin mu wa lebi oko ejo Edami. Omo pastor. Obirin lomo yin mu wa lebi oko. Obirin ni Edami Tori Olorun. They've been talking, I'm bringing my spouse. And they were trying to work, and by the time the spouse came, it was a tomboy. I said, darling, that's my mom. Ah, Ipi. Are you? You don't know what the Lord has done for you. Life has gotten to that point too. They have become vain in their imagination. In Canada, they have about 5 gender. They don't, you have she and he, Abi. I don't know what they call the rest. And it's in their curriculum. Okay, so there is here. Verse 22 of this scripture says, excuse me, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The origin of their folly is the fact that they didn't acknowledge God. And so they were not thankful. If you acknowledge God, you will live your life in gratitude. It balances your life. It gives you very good self-esteem. There is nowhere I can't go in the world. I won't feel lesser than anybody. Some of you want your car. It's not balanced. You know, a rickety car is never balanced. One side shock absorber is down. And you don't have money to fix it. But it can still move. And you are using your thing like that. So when you are going to that place, yeah. I don't think I want to take my car. I want to take Uber. You put unnecessary cost on yourself. And your car can still move by because your self-esteem is tied to the materials. I want to see a big man. He was looking at my shirt. He said, Pastor, this is an expensive shirt. I don't even know it's expensive. It was a gift. I just wore my shirt. I just saw that the guy was looking at my shirt too. Then at some point, he couldn't hide it again. Because that's what they invest in. That's what they invest in. What's my own? I've never seen the label. I don't know the name. The only thing I love about the shirt is that they quote wisdom, knowledge, truth. So I don't like to talk in that part. Wisdom, knowledge, truth. The rest is story. And the man said, oh, yeah, this is an expensive shirt. Yeah, this is an expensive shirt. I said, hey. So my wife told me, said, don't wear this shirt anyhow again. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Illusion. And to birds, to four-footed beasts, creeping things. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor them. There is no government over those who do not acknowledge God. God gives them up. There is no spirit of God to prick their heart anymore. That's why he says you sin against the Holy Ghost. How then do you get forgiveness? Because it is the Holy Ghost himself that even makes conviction happen. And once God gives you up, you don't have conviction. May God not give you up. You do things that are not convenient and you find them to be right. You will be right in your own mind, but you are fools. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of the heart, our own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's where we have gay and the rest of them springing from. It is from a generation of people who do not acknowledge God. And thank God, because there is a stain on the activity, slow down because of the elect, so that they don't invade your world. Because constitutions are beginning to adopt these abnormals all over the world. And God forbid, one day government will arrive around your corridor and say, we also put a stamp on it. Where would the elect live? That is the day your boy, God forbid, will be going on the street and another boy will call him because it's now legal. And excuse me, boy. We are still fighting fornication. That's a low rank. Now, what am I saying? The kingdom of God is an expression of government. The kingdom is not geography. It's not particularly a government of with physical boundaries. Somebody said kingdom is taken from two words, king and domain. But I would rather prefer you say it is taken from two words, which is king and dominion. Dominion for me is more like it to describe the activities of God's kingdom. Domain will not be very accurate to describe the activities of God's kingdom, because God's kingdom is not first physical. God's kingdom is not first physical. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And when we talk about kingdom from the Greek, basileia, it simply means influence, rule, reign, government. So I'm finding a good point to begin to teach on the kingdom. I have just like 20 minutes more, so I'm not in a rush. I'm still with you for some time. The kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom. The biggest trouble we have in understanding the kingdom of God is the fact that our mind is used to what kingdom is in earthly perspective. Because in our earthly perspective, kingdom is always having geographical expression first. In God's kingdom, it is the other way around. It is first expressed in the spirit. It's first spiritually generated. And thereafter, it could have physical influence. It is first spiritually generated. One of the reasons why the understanding of the Messiah was hidden from Israel was the fact that they too had a very strong understanding of physical kingdom. As a matter of fact, when God started describing kingdom, he started describing it with our physical arrangement, earthly arrangement. And he took a nation out called Israel to begin to describe to us what kingdom is. So, the understanding of these people that God first gave this fellowship to was so physical. So, when they began to get a prophecy of the Messiah, which is supposed to be the epitome of the kingdom, they thought his arrival was going to be demonstrated with physical dominion, with physical government and power. So they looked for it. And when Jesus came, they thought he was close to it. But when he never became the king of the Jews, they were disappointed. So after all, it's not the Messiah. Are we together? And so sad, till tomorrow, the Jews are still looking for the Messiah. Because in thoughts and in their minds, they believe that Israel will have dominion through Jerusalem all over the world. That the city called Jerusalem is going to become world capital someday. Because a king is going to arise among the Jews, who is going to bring every nation of the earth under dominion. And they are still expecting that. Meanwhile, the kingdom of God is advancing beneath their notice. In fact, so sad, even the disciples who walked intimately with Jesus, when they began the journey, they were looking for a time that he was going to transform to be the king of the Jews. They were actually looking out for that too. In fact, when he died, they were still expecting him. At his first appearance to them at the upper room, the question they asked him, you remember, in Acts chapter 1, will you at this time restore what? Restore what? The kingdom back to Israel. They thought the Roman empires and all the empires that had dominion over them, their time is coming to an end. Because Jesus was already come. And he was going to become a physical king. They thought he resurrected to go and possess an invisible body that he would use to rule over them with a rod of iron. And Jesus did not give an answer to that clearly. He actually said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his power. This is a loaded statement. You see, another thing that becomes dysfunctional in our interpretation of divine purpose is timing. So, these are the guys that Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 6, where I think we got our theme from. You know, I'm going to touch around, because in the next 10 minutes, I'll round up. Oh, how many minutes do I have left? Somebody please give me a reminder. I think I started around 6:30, right? 6:30. Okay, so I can still end 6:30. Is this still in order? I mean, 7:30. Thank you. All right. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, can you give me from verse 7? Go back up to 5. So that we can have a true view of the discourse. But thou, when thou prayest, they came to Jesus, they asked for Jesus to teach them to pray. Okay? Maybe I should stop at this point to let you know that the administration of God's kingdom in the heart becomes impossible without prayer. It becomes impossible without prayer. Prayer is a major, legitimate, spiritual tool of advancing kingdom. So when Jesus was going to reveal prayer to them, that was where we got the understanding of kingdom. The sad thing is that prayer has been so abused. And what Satan fights most is the most important instrument of the kingdom. It's so abused. He wants us to lose touch of it so that we will be crippled. So it interests me to know that it was in the discourse of prayer that thy kingdom come, that prophetic affirmation and declaration came. It interests me. But thou, when thou prayest, send time to thy closest, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in the secret, and thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the earthen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye are need of before ye ask. And somebody will ask me, why then ask him? This is not a prayer class. Because what we taught was that it is prayer that makes things available. No. Prayer don't make provisions. Prayer brings alignment. Some of you pray, and when you are praying as you fire more prayer, God is getting moved. And it's getting uncomfortable. Like your daddy. When you are crying, that's when he says, hey, Joshi, money changing, man, you gang that do about 120 naira, you get a biscuit. That's not God. You were too used to earthly activities, especially with your fathers. Yeah. That you thought the same way your father behaves is the way God behaves. When you want to go to school, you say, daddy, enjoy my juju to me. About who were against some whole school. Then daddy will begin to call his friends. Hey, Joshi, I know he's shame me, Joshi. Boya mori 100,000 yellow boy in Katia love is sent to our school. That's not God. In fact, God is so well arranged that there is nothing you want to ask that is not yet provided. Why then pray? God wants your commitment. Prayer is one of the most important expression of your commitment to God. It shows your dependency. One of the most visible way of showing your dependency on what? On God. Yes. The more you pray, the more you show God you trust Him. The more you show God you are dependent. The more you submit to the government. You must rule out that notion that you have, that it is prayer that goes to arrange things for you. And I always teach in my prayer classes, prophetic prayer school, that before you were created, everything you can ever dream of, before Adam was created, everything he can ever dream of to use, both in raw materials and anything, they were available before he was created. All an habitable environment with every of the supply of anything he can ever desire was available before he was made. So God is not disorganized. God does not admit students and start building hostels. Everything that was wired up in Adam's imagination pertaining to food or wares or anything were available before. They were older than him. And he's still the same God. I told my people in my prayer class, I said, he even said, when he was going to heaven, this was on a lighter mood because I don't want to get it that way. Before he went to heaven, he said, in my father's house, there are many mansions. I've gone ahead to prepare. So even before you arrive, there is adequate. Yeah, that's how God works. Before he relocated Israel from Egypt, everything was ready. And you need to relate with this God with that sense. So, it is not when you are praying, especially when it's delayed, you think maybe God is looking out for a space where he can fix you. How many of you have ever thought like that way? Be real. At least some of you can be very transparent. You think as you are fasting, say fast more. You say, you think as you are fasting, the water is getting hotter. And God is saying, No. The whole essence of your praying is actually to bring you to alignment so that you don't take God for granted, so that you know that it is him that brought you here and he has the capacity to take you through, and so that you can be dependent all the way. So I learned to pray in very unusual scenarios. People wonder, last 2 weeks, I was driving from the island back to the mainland, and I just finished a prayer meeting. As I was coming down, the charts of that bus pulled on the road. It was around 11. The young man that was driving me said, "Okay, be that Kenya manager." I said, "The thing is not moving, so there is nothing we can do. We'll stay here together." So I called one of the boys in the house to bring another car, because I don't want to bother my head looking for towing vehicles around. Let's bring another car to tow it. The car he brought was not fine. So by the time we started towing, the other car too stopped. Okudi meji. So by the time he stopped, I said, "Well," the guy said, "Oga, let's go and get this thing fast." I said, "Leave me." So I said, "Father, what do I do now? Help me. Just help me." Unfortunately for us, we caught a belt from one of the cars. We joined it together. The thing has pulled. So the Lord said, just calm down. So I calmed. I said, "Oh boy, no problem. Just calm down. We'll get out of here now." He said, "Oga, how? This is to 12. This is past 12. Please. Oga, please, let's take a cab. This place is not fine." I said, "Don't worry. It's me. Don't worry. God is in charge." Then a friend of mine just called me from the blues. "Hello?" He said, "I don't know. Something in me just wants that something is not himself. Just wants to call you." I said, "Hey." He said, "I don't know. I've never called you." I said, "Where are you?" He said, "Well, I went to see my wife in the clinic, and I'm going back home. I'm just driving alone." I said, "Which?" It was just like 5 minutes away from me. I said, "Drive to where I am." I said, "I'm almost stranded." So I said, "Hey, okay, I'm coming." He came with a bigger jeep. I said, "This is a towing vehicle. Should I shock you?" I like to tell very... You see, if I teach you and it's not experiential, then I've not achieved anything. Because the expression of the kingdom is in your day-to-day life. This Bible you are looking at, they are expression of people's day-to-day life. All those Moses were not asking a script with camera and somebody was covering it for records. No! The Spirit of God in his wisdom documented people's life. If there is going to be another opportunity for documents to come, will your life be worth being there? Will there be incursions from your own life? Because maybe because you demonstrated some levels of confidence to God, and God feels we can put stamp on this and keep it for another generation to read about. That is the Bible. Someday your life will be a Bible. Alright? So, when the man got to me, we didn't have a belt. That was another challenge. Believe you me, this is the very interesting part. I've seen this kind of thing happen to me more than once. Immediately he came. Before he came, there was a madman across. So, my boy with me was not comfortable. He said, madman. Because in Lagos, ritualists are more of madmen. So, he was putting together all the things that has happened recently, I'm sure. With Facebook, you know, some of you read more of your WhatsApp than your Bible. So you are stuck with all kinds of elements. There is one orange selling now, don't drink it. Oh, 16 people just die. They'll show you their corpse. they'll show you the madman that cut people's throat, and they'll show you how bad the scene was. So, this is bad. Your mind retains it. So the day you are in the dark, those things will rush back at you. Then you say, I beg, I have to pick reason before one madman come and cut my throat. So you are just a mere man because you feed on the junks of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, by the time my friend came, there was no rope to pull. This is the beautiful part. The madman crossed and started coming to us as if he was waiting for my friend to come. Pastor, you know that rope that is expensive for towing? He came rolled in his hand. I lie not. I kept the rope till tomorrow. It will be in my Ark of Covenant. You don't know. These things you think they are rituals, they are life things that happen life. Somebody used a rod that bought them. They kept it in a box. And they kept it for another generation. They kept shoe bread. Things that happened, they were collections of interface and dealings. Can you have collections like that? If you don't have an history with God, you can't have a future with God. If you don't have documents, I have documents. They overcame by the words of their testimony. Somebody said it's not the testimony, it's the testimonia. You are just out of your sense. What's testimonia? They are documents of their dealings with God. Where are yours? What did you keep in the last 5 years? That when the enemy wants to do some stunts, you just tell him, you'd never tired. How many times have you been disgraced? Can I remind you of some? They are for you. They are not even... You see, these days, things that are supposed to be our life, we use it for drama. You know, some people church, they now pile up their testimonies to invite people to church. That's not the... If you have a document that is for life, and if after all we want to use it, we use it for fellowship. We encourage one another. Not just to have a sense of belonging that me too, I can give testimony. In fact, there are people in the Bible who didn't even give their testimony. And they have great testimony. Like David, who killed a lion and they didn't know in town. He killed a bear. A bear is more the size of a human giant. the heaviest animal in the wild, the slap of a bear will break the jaw of any animal. It will crack their skull. And he smote a bear. He didn't say, he didn't start bear killer's ministry. It was just his life. The closest person that would have known was somebody that fellowships with him regularly and say, oh boy, this grace is working. I need to share some things with you. Not to feel like a big brother. But you see, these days, you just want to come and use it to do gymnastics. You say, oh, Sarabatan, yeah, ha, sha, sha, sha. Beer, die, die, die by fire. He said, I have a peculiar anointing for bear killing. So even if God wants to help him further, he can't help him again. He has crystallized. I've not even thought on the kingdom. I'm just trying to go around it. And what led us into all this is prayer. It makes you have a personal walk, what I call a journey. You can measure milestones when you have records. You know the point where God killed certain fear because of certain results of your dealings with Him. You know that certain things left. I don't know if you measure progress in your journey with God. You know the day you are no longer vulnerable to that fornication. The dealing is complete. You are not just trying to do both face. You wrestled in prayers. And we came to discover that Basilia, the utterance of Basilia, came in the premise of prayer. So let me make this as the final statement. Go back to verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. I'm going to sit here the next time I come up. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is the emphasis of God in prayers? Relationship. Not even once. Let me tell you something. Anytime you call any man Father, you are reminding him of responsibility. You don't have to say much again. When you affirm his fatherhood, the things you did not ask for, he will stand well like this and look around your life and begin to fix it. Some of us are here. It's our father that even determined the course we read in school. He stood with authority and with love and commitment. He said, no, imagine your money, you're engineering. No, no. Oh my goodness. I remember my mom went with someone to meet my uncle. Now, killer of woman didn't get lazy. What are you? Now what am I saying? Don't let me take you to jokes. When you say Father, it's relational. And when you affirm it, the first thing is that you are putting that person straight to his place of responsibility. And you have to, and it's specific, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I will take more time with name again when I come back. Hallowed be thy name. Then the next one, thy kingdom come, which is the center of the activity, which is the full expression of his purpose. And I took the time to get some material while I was in Israel from the Torah. I went to read with some Jew, and one of the areas that really concerned me was this El Tov. I thought it was just an intercessory demand. No, it was a prophetic declaration. It was like a command. Because the kingdom of God is not a future expression. Thy kingdom come is not in the perspective of a future event. It is a declaration of God's purpose to invade, to interrupt a regular activity. I'm going to take more time with that too. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. First, thy kingdom come. Of course, you know that Jesus teaching them here, and this is the only time he used that word, thy kingdom come. There was no other time in the scripture that the kingdom has been referred to as a kingdom with a future arrival. So, it was not with the intention of saying, we are expecting your kingdom someday. No. It's the declaration of Basilia to invade the earth, because man plays the most important role. Can I say it again? Man plays the most important role in the kingdom of God in the earth. 115 of Psalm, verse 13. The heavens of heavens is God's. The earth he has given to the children of men. And for the kingdom of God to find expression in the earth, man plays a very important role. Amen. And I'll continue from here. What the role of man is. What exactly is that expression? Why the empathy of thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when next I have the opportunity to speak to you. Eshe kariba mi o, eshe o, eshe o, mode a shope, eku itasu mi.
Father, we thank you for this blessing of your kingdom. We thank you for the blessing of your truth. We thank you for the internalization of it and the demonstration thereof. Thank you because there will be an experience. All of us, we have testimonies. You will give us an archive of your dealings with us. And truly, people will know that your kingdom is being expressed in our daily activities. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.